Let us all arrive. Arriving in our body. Arriving in this moment. Just noticing what is grabbing our attention. Very gently. It's a noticing. It's not judgment. It's not even discernment. Right now, it's just noticing what is available in your awareness. There is no rush. There's no bad. There's no good. It's all about noticing at this moment. And just the act of noticing allows your body to settle down because there's no pressure to be any different way. There's no judgment to be good or bad. Better or worse, higher or lower. And it's amazing, this process of seeing, simply seeing, is very comforting for the body, inner and outer body. It's like all is well, you're okay as you are. You don't need to be any different. Even if there is discomfort or pain, it's all right. And just notice if this state of being is available to you. Witnessing, observing. Being okay with what is inside of you, outside of you, your physical body, your mental body, your emotional body. Like very strong waves of ocean, body settles in and settles down. When we just see it. Might be a very unfamiliar experience for the body. Is it really okay? Can I be as I am? The answer is yes, all is well. You can just be. Allowing your breath and your breathing to go to its natural, deep, slow state. Relaxing. And releasing all the shoulds and musts and could have and should have. And see how just gently body says, oh, this is good. This is really good. Doing the same thing with your mind as busy or unsettled or uncomfortable as it may be in this moment, or as peaceful. Allow it to be. Nothing to do, nothing to change. All is well. But the rational mind says, but, and you say, yeah, it's okay. It's all right. I got this. You settle down. But Mitra doesn't know that it's what's happening. It's like, it's okay. It's all right. All is well. It's just life happening. And now we're going to take our attention to our heart, to our emotions, navigating our way through a pile of emotions, reactions, heartache, excitement, anticipation, disappointments. Ooh, there's a whole line of these emotions, but just be courageous enough to make your way through all the emotions. And go right into the root, heart of your heart. And there it lives, the true state of feeling. There is peace and connection, compassion for you or for others. Peace, unity, love. All their relatives are there. They're all from same family. And how good it feels to be there. But the emotions are still screaming. They're all making noises. But you don't know. Yesterday they said this. And I couldn't do that. And do you remember this? I said like, yeah, I do. With all of that. With all the emotions. Here I am. Connected to my true state of feeling. I am love. I am balance. I am united with all beings and the source. I am okay, just as I am. With all that I have done and all that I feel and all that I think, I am good. In fact, let's go further. All that I've ever experienced in my life, there's been no wrong, no mistake. Everything has happened for the purpose of my growth. Everything has been suggested and designed by my higher self and supported by universe. Higher self decides, universe provides experiences and characters to support the movie of our growth. What if nothing has ever gone wrong? What if everything, and I mean everything, and yes, including that thing that you're thinking about, everything was there to get you here? What if all is well? What if you are exactly where your higher self planned for you to be? And I want you to really stay with this what if, because you're good at what ifing, but usually you're what if on the other side. What if all is well and you're good and it is good? Can you taste that in your body? What if all is well? And if you're soaking in this all as wellness, your body probably is settling down. Your mind is not as active. Your emotions are making way for the feelings of well-being. What if I am not broken? I've never been broken. What a feeling, what an idea, what a state of energy that could be. All is well. I am well. Nothing has ever gone wrong. I am where I need to be in order to get to where I want to get. Have you given permission for it to speak yet? You're shifting into the state of balance, acceptance. So we do not need the services of your rational mind in this moment. And if it's speaking, you can ask it to stop, a gentle stop, but stop nevertheless. And I want you to stay in this state for a few seconds in silence. What if this could be our state of being most of the time? Instead of worrying, anticipating, what an idea. Trusting that everything is exactly as how it needs to be. What if I'm in good hands? My hands. My hands that is connected to all hands. And I want you to just picture that. A cycle of friends. Friends that we have met, friends that we are yet to meet. Holding hands, expanding the cycle. Trusting, growing, all in the state of well-being. If you were able to picture that and if it served you, I want you to just take a photo with the camera of your mind so that you can remember this scene. Take a deep breath. Bring your attention to your body. And whenever you're ready, there's no rush. Open your eyes and come to the room with us. Hello, hello. All right. So let's see. Anybody wants to share anything about either them? Well, let's go with meditation first, and then we go with the lesson four that we promised we'd talk about. Let's see.
I'll go. I love the when you were talking about like letting the emotions go, and all of a sudden I just pictured this big like ice freighter in the icebreaker freighters in Alaska that break up the ice, and every emotion was just going, you know, being the blocks of ice just moving aside, and it was so surreal. It was so cool. It was just, you know, I could see everyone just popping up and then splashing over and making way for new. And so that was a beautiful image. And it was really funny when you said, then there was a part about tasting your body. And I just, vanilla ice cream came up. And I just, you know, with like a drip of like hot fudge on it. And I just went like, oh my gosh, this is heaven. I was just, yeah.
Good. You have a good imagination, Nikki. You really go into details. I like that. Great. Thank you. Let's see. Anybody else? Yes, Minu, go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. When you said all the emotions, that was what I was just thinking about. How could a person have all the emotions at once, at the same time. And when you said it, I said, oh my God, I'm not the only one. So that is possible, because that's exactly how I feel. A lot of different emotions. It's like everywhere, good, bad, exciting, not bad, but exciting, anticipation, maybe a little bit anxiety, everything. So it was very good to know I'm not the only one. It that exists. But I have a question about the thing. When you said to observe how you're feeling, all emotions and everything, would that look like I'm complaining? I'm like looking for everything. Oh my God. Honestly, I have pain from my neck all the way down. We were at my nephew's bar mitzvah last night. It was a party. There was no seat, and it was everyone, dancing and standing on our feet the whole night. We had a great time, but my body is really tired. So is it looking for, not looking, but am I complaining by noticing the things that are good or bad? But could that be, how could you separate that from complaining and just observing? Can you explain that,
Yeah,
please?
great question. Yeah.
Thank you.
So observing is neutral in its approach. So it's like we're sitting there and I say, look at that tree. I didn't say it's beautiful. I didn't say it's ugly. I didn't say it shouldn't be there. I'm just saying yes. And this state of neutrality is very unfamiliar in the world that we live in because we sort of push ourselves to have an opinion about everything. And that is the state that we want to work with. That can I just observe? Observe is very neutral in its approach. It's like, and neutrality is not that attractive because we've lived such a dramatic life that neutrality feels like, ah, it's not exciting, you know? Because I'm used to saying, ah, that's beautiful, or ah, that's not good. And between these two, there is a place that it's just an observing experience. And it's so unfamiliar. And I'm glad you asked, Minu, because it is unfamiliar to our everyday life. We feel like every observation, every item, every experience that comes to our awareness needs to have some attachment of judgment to it. And there are times that we need to use our discernment, and we've talked about the difference between discernment and judgment, but not everything needs to have that. It's actually very interesting when I have met like really advanced teachers. You would think like you will see a jolly person that hops and sings and laughs, and that wasn't the case. They're actually in a state of balance. There's just like almost comparing to the world I live in, it could be interpreted as like maybe even sad. Why aren't like they're jumping up and down? Aren't they enlightened? And the answer is they are in the state of balance and observation. They're just merely observing. Here's a good example for you. Just imagine, we're imagining, we don't know. Let's say I'm in front of me, there is a tree right now. That tree, it's observing me. It's not saying Mitra doesn't look good, Mitra is not good, Mitra is good. It's just observing. It is in that state of complete okayness with what is. It has no opinion, as far as I know. I mean, maybe I'm making up a story, but from what I can tell, this is observing me as I'm observing it. But I observe it and I say, it's green, it's grown. It was much better last week, the first day of spring, but right now is like I have all these opinions and I can just say, oh, it is. Complaining needs a judgment. I need to say this happened and it wasn't good. It wasn't good. It should have been that. I should have had good seats to sit down whole night. They should have arranged that for me. They didn't. I'm making it up. You didn't say that. And hence, I have this discomfort in my body. As opposed to saying it was what it was their party, they arranged it the way they wanted it, and I could have adjusted how long I want to stay there. So my body wouldn't go to this estate. You know, I could have like go and to the wherever it was and asked for some support. Is there anything you can give me to support me? So it was my and the answer maybe no, there wasn't, but that's the state of pure acceptance and balance. It is what it is. So if I was there last night and I said, Minu, it's so uncomfortable. There is no chairs, really. I've never seen such a long event with no chairs. You would say, yes, Mitra. They decided that this is how they want their party. But it's not, there's no charge to it. It's not like take it or leave it. It's like it is what it is. It's their party, as they say. It's my party. I do what I want to. Like, that's how I want my party. I have this image of my party that everybody is on the floor sleeping, and somebody has an image of everybody standing. So they're all good. It's good for me. Did that make it any better? Go ahead, ask me more.
Yes. Actually, I know I had all of those choices. There were a few seats that we used and we sat too. But the way that I was seeing myself, it wasn't about, I had a great time. I won't change it with anything else. Everything was just the way they planned it, and I absorbed everything they planned, and it was amazing. But I'm talking about when I report my body, I mean report my feelings, you said to observe myself. I observe that my body aches for whatever reason, my body aches. So when I notice that body ache, is it like am I complaining to myself, oh, my body aches,
No,
and I
no.
just
It
observe
depends.
it.
Yes, observe it. Because
Okay.
the only time complaining comes in if it's like this. If I say my body aches and that's not a good thing, I give it bad at good. And if you accept, it's really interesting and it's a great deep question you're asking. If I'm in state of balance and acceptance, I also accept that overactivity sometimes causes this discomfort, and that's
Exactly.
okay.
That's
And
what,
that's okay.
yeah,
It's a
exactly.
price
Yeah.
to pay. It's
So
like,
it's not a
okay,
complaint. I
no,
don't want
it's
it to
not.
feel like complaining.
No, no.
Good.
It's complain if you say, I'm here, I'm present, my body aches, and there's another statement. I shouldn't have gone there, they should have had how come. If there's nothing after that, and I say, oh, really, your body aches, you say, yeah, you report the facts of it. There is no judgment attached to that report. May that report be for me or if it's for you, doesn't matter. The reporting mechanism is just merely saying, like, I can tell you my feet are cold. And that's it. I have nothing else to report. And you say, why? I said, it's cold. I don't know. They're cold. There is no should have, could have, would have. They, like, you know, they didn't turn on the air conditioner. I told Henry, but he didn't listen. Like, there's nothing else. After that, story stops with the reporting.
Very good. Yes. Thank you.
Very
Thank you.
good
Thank you.
question. Thank you. So, insights, questions,
I can share
objections.
about the meditation. So at one point you said like you don't need your rational brain, and that was like hard for me to process. So I imagine my rational brain was like a little cartoon animal, and I told it, I said, "You can go on vacation now." And then it like scurried off. And then once it did that, I was able to calm down and like, to see that everything was okay.
That's great, Jennifer, because what you did was you took away the power that there's a lot of hearts coming, the power that rational mind has taken. You're saying, and just cartooning it, just making it a cartoon character is like reduces its power. You know, in public speaking, they say, like, if you're frightened by the crowd, sometimes people go, they don't either expect the crowd or they don't expect their feelings. And they're sort of, I've been like clients that I coach for public speaking that I have seen true freak out. I mean, almost witnessed a heart attack that somebody had before going to publicly speak. They say public speaking after death is the second most feared activity in life, which is very interesting. So what they say is to imagine that people are sitting in their pajamas or with their teddy bears or something. Why? What you're doing, it's the same mechanism. You're taking away the power that you had given to this thing that is frightening you. This thing could be my rational mind. This thing could be the audience I'm speaking to. This thing could be the task I'm doing. I have made it such a giant that now that giant is really frightening me. So beautiful process what you did. I mean, you said it lightly, but it's a very important thing you did. And can you do it when it's not stopping to talk? Because sometimes it does. But what about this? I don't think they like you. I don't know. Did you see what she said? Did you just know they didn't turn to you? Like you said, shh, go and play your little character of cartoon. In fact, boop, let me just like play with you and see if you can go away. So it was a very wise thing to do.
Thank you.
Yes, Minu.
Can we do that with whatever that is frightening in our life, actually? Like whatever is frightening?
Yes, but and the fact is sometimes it is a true danger.
Of
So
course.
after discernment, yes, you can do that. When I realized, and that's a part that we should not forget, because if I, let's say I enter a room and I feel completely frightened, okay, and it has happened, or a meeting or something, there might be a true danger and my body is speaking to me. So we don't want to throw the baby with the bathwater. I want to be also in survival mode if there is a need for it. I just don't want to live in survival mode. And that, so you acknowledge it. That's why observation is so important. I sit there and I think, huh, you say, Mitra, how are you? I say, I feel frightened. And then I stop and I say, is there a true reason for my fear? Because there might be. And as I said, sometimes we discount the intelligence of the body and the mind because we think, oh, yeah, I'm always frightened when I go to a new place. It's like, yeah. And sometimes there's a reason for it. Maybe there is a danger that I need to be careful about. And by danger, I don't mean like somebody's killing me, but something that doesn't feel right. So do that. And then if the answer is no, really, it's a made up story of the rational mind telling you there is this huge danger where it's not true. And then you turn it into a character and then you say, thank you so much for your participation. Right now, I don't need you there. And you can like, you know, click it and say, go away, you funny character. That, but don't do it right in the beginning because sometimes it does have a true message for you.
Thank you.
Carlota.
Going back to the hi Mitra. Going back to the neutral state and the more practice need of going all in or all out. I was thinking, do you think that's something that has been fostered and fed in little everythings or some things, little somethings through institutions? Because I see it as a way to polarize, not allowing this neutral state being the general state. What's happening is that either you are in here or in here. And then, of course, yeah, it's more difficult to reconcile.
Yes. An answer is yes, and all institutions, corporate institutions, other institutions, because in the state of fear, it is so easy to control. So easy. If I frightened you and I said there is danger in this group, but don't worry, I have your back. Just ask me every time you want to say something or do something. So now I just took your powers away and I'm holding to your power. And let's say I don't want you to talk to Nikki. So as soon as you say, I say, Carlota, I don't think you should be talking to Nikki. And that way, I'm the only place of power. I can sell you things. I can tell you things to do or not to do. And in general, let's say none of those are there. It's so much easier to control this room because everybody is going to be listening to me. In fact, I give you your questions to ask. And that's the way some things have been controlled, because they have forgotten that I can make that discernment myself. I don't need Mitra or Mitra's institution to tell me what is right, what is wrong. I can get inspired. I can learn if there is an institution that knows something I don't know, but I'm not going to be giving up my own discernment at the cost of, their control.
It's making me think on how my father says that the government operates on the same structure as a mafia, because they make like either this side of the mafia or this side of the mafia, it's a danger to the neighborhood. So if you get this mafia to like you pay no to these ones, they're gonna save you from the other. But if there were no mafia, there was no danger, nobody to pay. So they create the power, the problem, and they operate exactly like you said. Like, just trust me, I'm gonna protect you. Protect me from yours, from you, in fact. It's like, and then one thing you said, it really bummed me. It's like this neutral state. I mean, you can think that joy is the ultimate state without fear. But in fact, there is this fear of losing joy and this neutral state. When you said this, like they want to put fear in you, so you go into one side or the other. It's totally like that. In neutral state, there's no fear. It's the only place where there's no fear.
Because all is well. Whatever is
Yeah.
happening, it's fine. There is no
It's
judgment. There is
realization.
no even, grabbing and desiring. Yes. And here's the funny thing. In that neutral state, there is a very quiet, constant joy. So it's not a joy as we see it. It's not like me jumping up and down. It is like there is joy in being in balance. This is delicious. And every now and then, I'm sure everybody has experienced that. But when I experience it, it's almost like breathing becomes very different. It's like, oh God, that I could be in this state and everything is exciting. And from the outside world, nothing is exciting, but everything is exciting. This flower is exciting. This, I don't know, this pen is exciting. And it's like everything is exciting. But not in the excitement of the dramatic, frightened world. It's not exaggerated. It is not grand. It is not defined. It just is. And that gives me the true joy that is almost constant vibration of interesting feelings. But it's not a joy that we have dramatized. It's not a Hollywood joy.
Yeah, it's like we're lacking a word for that, no? To differentiate this like happiness, shiny, goldy joy from this joy that you're saying, that in fact it's by choice. The one that goes into like a vibration, it's like you choose to be there. The other one is just the rush of dopamine, like this thing. But the other one is like, no,
Yes, exactly. As I said, it's Hollywood, or Bollywood,
Yeah,
whatever would.
totally.
That I jump on every table and I'm singing and I'm taking people's hat and I'm like, that scenes that they have. So compared to that, it actually is another way of manipulating me, because how many times have I done that? If I do that, people think I'm crazy. Any of these scenes, if I do, like, they will probably go away from me. But
And how sustainable are they?
exactly. So they're not sustainable. Sometimes they're not attainable even to be sustainable. But it's that, like, like I'm singing and I'm dancing kind of thing. I mean, you can also sing and dance, but without grabbing. Without grabbing. I allow myself to jump up and down. And actually, sometimes I do have extra energy. I have a trampoline that I jump up and down on it, but I'm aware that this is just as delicious as a moment before or a moment after where I was just like this. They're both precious and they both give me same joy. That's just physical expression of my joy. Can I experience joy without wanting to have a physical dramatic expression? And I'm not saying you should do that. I'm saying that exists. This is very important. I'm not saying, oh, tomorrow, please don't laugh and don't joke and don't jump up and down. Do that, but know that there's also another experience called joy, exactly the same vibration, that doesn't have this physical expression that they've told us it should look like that. That's another reason for disappointment, actually. If I go somewhere and I can't achieve that state of physicality of, oh, I'm happy, then I get disappointed. And you say, like, what's wrong with you, Mitra? Or I say, what's wrong with me? How come I'm not like singing and dancing like this person on my screen?
It's funny when you said that of the expression of your physical. I thought like when you have a very hard laugh with friends, that this is your crying of laughing, but also when you have a very hard cry after something, the body sensation of release is the same.
Yes,
You
yes,
get to this neutral, no?
yes. It gets to a neutrality. Have you ever noticed that? Exactly. It's a release and a relief. Very good. That's exactly what it is. It's like people joke and then there's silence. Or you cry and you scream and then there's this like, oh, it was so good. That's why it feels good. I remember when I was going through really rough time right after, war and revolution. I remember that I would induce a crying session, literally, for myself. I would actually create an opportunity that I'm alone and I can really cry. Then I would take a shower, then I would sit in meditation and I would like feel so light and good. So it's exactly that feeling. State of balance. Yeah, you're right. Minu.
As Carlotta said, there has to be a different name for that because
Yes.
maybe joy is not enough. We
Yes.
associate with joy with physical pleasure. Well,
Yes.
we know it's different, but there has to be a different word. I think the neutrality part is a very true thing. When you are neutral, and this is the first time I heard, and I really enjoyed it. It's like I just had a big piece of chocolate. So that state of neutrality is an amazing state to be, and it's not joy. It's something more than joy. We have to come up with a name for it.
Yes, you're right. There needs a, I remember when I was teaching, I don't know if it was in our course or somewhere else, I differentiated between happiness and joy. I don't know
Yes,
if you
I
remember. Yeah.
remember.
Happiness being outwardly, like I really love the cake you bought for me, or really love the pants that are, made for myself. That gives me happiness, but it's dependent and conditioned on some outwardly thing to take place for me to feel that. But then there was the joy. But you're right, because joy and happiness have been used interchangeably. So not everybody, unless we had this discussion, separates happiness and joy. In fact, they use it, they say, by happiness and joy. So I don't know, maybe we should create a word for that. That's a good suggestion. If you have
Just
any.
like your attentionist, just like your attentionist word, you come up with a new word just for that experience.
Yes,
Yes,
yes.
thank you.
Well, I'll accept any suggestions. Let's find a word for it because neutrality doesn't have a good reputation. It's not a state people actually seek. It's not like, oh, I did my best to be neutral. Everybody says, I want to be happy. So, which is another lost promise because it's not, as Carlotta was saying, it's not sustainable. How many minutes of the day can I be like, oh, yes, it's actually tiring. It's very tiring. And then it becomes a play, it becomes a game. I now want to say that I'm happy, or either to myself or to you or both. And it becomes another thing that takes me away from my authenticity. You know, right now I'm good.
And
Just
then
think.
later we take it for granted. I'm sorry, I'm
No,
sorry.
go ahead, go ahead.
Later we'll take it for granted when it happens all the time. We don't feel it. We will take it as granted, just like some other things that we lose a lot of pa it's good power because it's happening all the time and we don't appreciate it anymore
What a great
when it's
point.
too much to in that.
So true, so true. And also, the society doesn't let us. Just think about that, Minu, for a second, that we're in a gathering and I'm sitting in neutral state and I'm not jumping up and down and I'm not speaking and I'm not dancing. I'm just like really in the moment. How many people will come and say, Mitra, are you okay? Do you want to come? Come and dance with us. Come and talk with us. And I'm thinking, I'm really okay. But it's not considered okay because our okay, it has physicality. I need to express how I am for others to see it. So yeah, we're going to look for a good word, and I'm sure it will come from somebody sometime. Good suggestion.
It's funny, it just came to my mind that my father, not far ago, just sent me. I know that we are not fans of having quotes and things like that, but I think that is so perfect. Like, same that he mentioned the mafia, like, he's a big fan of Schopenhauer. And he said that, in fact, Schopenhauer says that happiness doesn't exist, but it does joy. And that joy is not linked to a state of, we say it in Spanish, a state of the soul, like an emotion that is not linked to an emotion, but it's an attitude that you decide to have in your life. It's
Interesting.
so close to what we're saying.
Yes, that's right. And I
We
love
have
Schopenhauer,
these
by
deep
the way.
conversations with my father about that.
It's interesting.
And
You mentioned your father twice today, and I had
that's
not
it.
heard you do that. So that's
No.
another observation.
That was the point. It's his strength point, what we're talking today.
Fascinating. Really good discussion. And it's so, we're almost discovering, as Minu was saying, we're discovering that there is joy, which is the next step from where we were, but then there is another one that is that state of complete surrender, I suppose, and bliss. So bliss, oh, maybe we can use that word, bliss for the time being at least. Bliss is that state that I'm not like it's quiet. Bliss is quiet. You know, happiness and joy usually are louder, but yeah, that state and the people that I have seen that I considered a true teacher, they are mainly in that state. In fact, sometimes there is no even need for words. I think you have heard me say that when my teacher took me to his teacher, and I was so concerned, that does he speak English? What questions can I ask? And I remember my teacher said, "It's okay, you'll know, don't worry." And then we arrive, and I was so anticipating this meeting. It was in a very remote place. It took us hours to get there. It was a hot day. And we got there, and I go to the room. My teacher just says something in their language, and I sit there. And I say nothing, and the teacher says nothing. And I was so okay with that. That's all I wanted. And it was so rich. I felt a lot of emotions. I went from tearing up and crying to smiling to this state that he was holding, which was just being. And if you ask me, what is the most important meeting you've ever had in your life? I would name this. And I can't report anything that had words. I sat there. My question was answered. I felt what I needed to feel. I had no idea what time was. And when I felt complete, I got up. I left. And it was so rewarding and delicious. I have no name for it. Very interesting. Nikki is suggesting a state of peace, but we want to make up a word. Somebody told me. I said, they said, what is the name of your upcoming book? I said, The Attentionist. And the person said, that's not a word. I said, it is now. And they said, but that's a made up word. And I smiled and I said, you know, all words are made up by humans. And they didn't. They just like could have, they said, oh my God, I never thought about that. I see, I didn't come from heavens. It just was made by humans. So I'm a human. I can make a word. And you understood what I said when I said the attention is. They said, yes, I did. I said, so it's a word, isn't it? So it's all made up. Except they say Hebrew is the only language that was discovered, not made by humans. But that's just another. It's based on vibration and numbers. So it's not actually a language that was made by us. It was discovered by humans. But that's what I heard. I don't have any more information about that. But that's what I've heard somebody that I trust said that. So hi, Christine.
Good morning. Hi.
Morning.
Excuse me for being off camera. We were searching for puddles.
Of course.
Yeah. And so my attention has been a little bit. Do you want to say hi real quick?
Hi.
Good morning.
Look at that. Hello.
I wanted to reflect on what was just said and ask about contentment. If that where because it's not that's not bliss, but it's that's hold on, I'm gonna pick you up, hold on. And I don't know, it's not quite the neutral state that you were speaking of, but maybe something like that.
Yes. So tell me what you mean by it when you use that word, because that also is important.
It's being like okay with,
Yes.
right? So it's more than just being with. I think being with maybe is neutral, but being okay with or perhaps joyful with, but only like on like the if joyful is like 1 to 10, somewhere in the like 1 to 3 range of the joy part. And yeah, so it's sort of like a mindful quality of aware and in acceptance, but and without any kind of negative tone.
Yes. So two things you said that are absolutely true. One is that there is the spectrum of this state. So am I in the beginning, or if there is a beginning, or closer to that? But just let's unfold what you said. Okayness with what is. What does it take for me to be in that state? I need to really understand it as a state, not as like 10 minutes, I'm okay. I accepted that you talk to me like this. It's not that. It's like I am in the state of okayness. Okay. That state of okayness says that I have truly understood where I've come from, why I'm here, and what's going on. I have no objections. It's just like our meditation, guided meditation, was sort of purposed around that all is well, not because I'm saying so, because I believe that nothing ever goes wrong, ever. Everything that is going on, everything that I'm observing are meant to be there. And let's make it even better. And I have a choice of paying my attention to it or not. So this is going on. The world that we're living in is the same for all of us. Let's say you and I even live in the same neighborhood. It's the same world. locally, nationally, and internationally. But depending on where our attention is, depending on our choices, we are in different states. But when I know two things, one, all is well, everything that is here needs to be here. Two, I do have a choice if one makes me uncomfortable, then I settle into a state that I am not wanting, grabbing, petrified of things. And that's the state that we're talking about. It's not a state of inactivity and passivity, because that's the judgmental way of looking at it. It's like, so I do nothing the moment I say that. Every time, if I got a penny for every time I said that, and somebody said, so you're saying just do nothing except let the people do whatever they want to you? I say, no. It's actually empowering, not disempowering. I'm saying it's okay. Let's say somebody's being unkind to me in this moment, and I observe it and I feel it, and I have so many choices, because in the state of fear, not okayness, I want to change that. I want to prove to you that your opinion of me is wrong. And there you go, right in that moment, I got to exactly to the state that was petrifying me. I'm now proving, defending. Oh, and then I have to attack so that I say, you think I'm like that? I think you're like that. Then I make it even worse. I think you're this and that. So now I just lost my frequency of okayness. But let's say somebody says, Mitra, I think you, I don't know, you're a thief. You took my money. You took my bag. And I say, oh, interesting. I did not. It's a very hard state. Now that I'm giving an example, you see how hard it is. I say, I did not. And the person says, no, you did. I saw you doing it. And I say, I did not. And you could not have seen it. And that's it. I'm still not losing my state. I'm not saying we should be like that. I'm saying that's available to us. I have seen with my two own eyes that state exist. And these kind of conversation can go on. And it can happen. I did not lose my frequency, and I'm okay. That's the state that I'm talking about, and I think what you're talking about. But as I said, there is a whole spectrum. If I'm in the beginning practice of it, I still will provide some information. Here is my bag. Go and check. If there's anything in it, you can find it. And that's fine too. I may have to. I may be in a position that I'll be harmed if I don't. All of those are okay. It's not about what I do in response to that accusation. It's in what state of frequency, vibration, I do what I do. I say what I say. Did I lose it? Did I drop it? Did I raise it? Did I stay the same? And those are the three options always to be. I could lose it and start accusing them of things. That means I dropped it. I could just stay there and say, no, I didn't. Or I may be, if I'm, at the higher state, I may actually raise my vibration to a place that might even invite my accuser to raise their vibration. But that's a different order of being. But these are all available to me, all available to me. I mean, Minu was a witness when that happened many years ago. Somebody came in a class and told me, I met someone that said, hey, you go to Mitra Manesh? And they said, yes. They said, oh my God. And they said, what? They said, oh, you'll find out. And they said, look, what? Tell me more. And they said, oh, yeah, I just don't, but you will know one day. And this person said it in the class to me, and they said, what do you have? In fact, they panicked so much, they called me at the weekend and said, this has happened. Do you want their name and number? I said, no. They said, well, don't you want to call them and tell them off? I said, no. They know. I don't even know who they were. Honestly, I asked the name. I couldn't even recognize the name. I said, they know how to contact me if they have something to say to me. They will. I said, what should I do? I said, nothing. Use your own discernment. If what they said went to your heart, then don't come back to me. It's very simple. I mean, I can't be like that. I have to tell you, I wish I could like that all the time. But in that moment, I found it comical. I said, okay, it's opinion of one person. So do what you think you should do with it. I can't tell you what to do with it. So do you want to call them? I got their number. I said, no, let them call me if they have something to tell me. I never heard from them until I saw that person in an event, and that person came and gave me a lot of compliments. I was a speaker, and they said, it was so wonderful. Do you remember me? I said, actually, I don't. Then they introduced themselves. I thought, oh, that name rings a bell. I remember that name. I said, no. She said, it's amazing. Haven't seen you for a long time. Then I remember where she had met me. And then she said, it was an amazing speech. We were very good. I said, I appreciate your feedback. And I really looked into their eyes, made that person very uncomfortable because I wasn't talking. I was connecting through their eyes. That's all. That's all I could do. What can I tell you? I'm sure somebody feels like I'm a danger to society. And they are right. They have the right to their opinion. I mean, I'm joking, but honestly, I don't even have harsh feelings for them. That's their true opinion. How, why? I don't know. Not my business. But I will not drop my frequency because they wanted to go there. When I'm aware, of course. Long answer to your question. Good conversation. Really good conversation. We have come, ha we go for half an hour more because I know Nikki wants to suggest a break, but I think we should. Oh, she has some names here. Bejoyed. I like that. These are Nikki's suggestion. Joylissos. What is that? Joy.
I didn't spell it right, joylicious,
Oh,
because you said
delicious.
being in a
Oh.
state that's delicious. So I thought joylicious.
I like that. Or nutritious. Oh no, that word exists already. Okay. I like, keep it coming. Keep it coming. We'll find a word that will go home for all of us, and at least we can use it amongst ourselves. That's a good suggestion Minu had. All right, let's see. Yeah, the state that we don't need to change anything outwardly, but then something inwardly is born. So we're actually giving an opportunity. I was just feeling that. What is that state? That because there is no musting, there is no shoulding, then my true state does what it wants to do. Do you see what I mean? Like there's no imposing.
Can you please repeat?
Yeah. When there is that state, when there is no musting and shoulding that comes from outside, my body, my mind, my emotions settle down, and I actually connect to what I truly, deeply want to do, say, or be. Because there's no outer pressure. That state allows me, because all of those voices are quiet. I'm sitting here not wanting to perform, not wanting to satisfy the need that I assume you guys have, not thinking, oh, I should look like this or sound like that. So those all settle down. Okay. And now I sit there and I think, oh, I really want to connect. I really want to talk about this. I really love to do that. So it comes from a place of passion and love and wanting and inspiration. So that's the inspiration, the word inspiration, in spirit, so I can say and be inspiring. But when I'm not in that state, I'm either protecting, pretending, or defending. Because I'm trying to look like or satisfy an image that either I have built for myself or I think you want from me. So that's where authenticity comes in that state. when the teacher sat there and his teacher told him, being my teacher, that this person has come thousands of miles to visit you, that teacher had no notion of how he should perform. He said to himself, probably, let me receive her. And that's it. No word came, no action came, but there were a lot of clear and extremely authentic vibration present. And I got that because we are all energetic beings. In fact, we are energetic beings before we are physical and mental beings. But the other ones are so loud that I'm not even hearing my energy. Between I should do this, why did they do this? I can't believe it. They're doing it for that, but they're not doing it for me. I did, oh, yesterday I was not so good, or tomorrow I'm going to do. There's so much noise that I'm not even connecting to what I really want to do. What do I really, really want to do? And the answers usually are so simple when we're in that state. My two girls were visiting last week. It was Persian New Year, spring. And because we don't get together that often, they don't live here, we get so excited about what we should do. And then the next day, when they both were, rested and showered and everything, they said, Mom, what should we do? I said, let's just sit together and meditate and see what resonates. And before that, they had 200 suggestions. God bless them. They have so much energy. It's like I was thinking, like, this sounds like a plan for a year, not a week. But I didn't say anything. And then when we sat together, I said, so now what do you think? They said, like, this is fine. We're just chilling here. All the plans. We'll go to this restaurant, we'll go to sushi, we'll go to that park, and my by the way, everybody said, like, this is fine. And I was thinking, yeah, this is fine. Three of us on the floor, just together. But then out of that, when we set that state as our state of being for that moment, of course, it didn't last, then other ideas came, which were far more authentic. At least felt authentic to me that all the things that we thought we should have done, a happy family does these things together. And I'm thinking, no, not necessarily. Says who? I always think, says who? Who said that's the picture? And then a lot of, look, as they called it, chill time came, a lot of connection came. I actually connected with them far deeply this time than any other time. And activities were far less too. Fascinating. But they're not necessarily, I mean, a lot of activities may have come out of that. That's okay too. It's not the measure is not how much we do, how much we are. The measure is how much our doing stemmed from our being. That's the measure. Okay, I need somebody else to talk. I feel like I just talk too much. Carlota.
Mitra, so what I understood when you said that you went in front of your teacher is because, no, sorry, your teacher, the teacher of your teacher, because this teacher made all the work to feel or just don't be attached to all this outside and just create this neutral state. And when you came in, he didn't. Absolutely didn't go to any protocol or whatever it looked like he has to do to receive somebody who comes from very far. And he stayed in this state. It allowed you to sit in that state automatically.
Yes.
And what I
Yes.
was thinking at the end, it's practice, but all of us can provide that to others. And that's
Yes,
so
we can.
beautiful.
But we need to be really strong in our state. I mean, really, the wrong word, rooted in our state. Rooted in our state. He was rooted in his state and didn't have any need to impress me. And yet I was so deeply impressed. Isn't that crazy?
But it
Former
allowed,
friend.
it's like it transferred. It's so nice because he
Yes.
made the work and it transferred to
Yes.
you. That's
Yes.
the beauty. It didn't show like, look, here I am, and you have to climb this Everest mountain to be here. He
Yes.
just like took you on a speed train all the way up to the mountain in his presence. And that's so beautiful.
You know, when you're saying these words, Carlota, an image comes to my mind that we create everything that we think I should, every shoulding is like a curtain between us. So it doesn't allow me to be me. The curtain of look, the curtain of words, the curtain of image, the curtain of impressing you, the curtain of education, the curtain of race, the curtain of all of these are one curtain. And when we remove these curtains, it's just natural. I don't, it's effortless. So what our job is not to create anything, but to remove these curtains. If I arrive with no intention of wanting to do this and that, even though, you know, I look the way I do, I come from the background that I do, and I know what I know, but that's okay for now. And let's see what else happens. So there was no curtain. I sat there, energy connected with energy, because the curtains of ego, impressing, image, even language. Like, well, that was one of my questions. I said, does he speak English? How do I speak to him? How do I present my question? And my teacher probably thinks, silly girl, says, it's okay. I said, what do you mean it's okay? Does he speak English? How do I deserve? Do I speak first? Does he speak first? Like, I had so many questions. And he said, you will know. That's all my teacher said. I said, where do I know? I said, you will know. And I knew. And I well knew. Like a kid. I was like a kid with 2,000 questions.
It's so beautiful to think like visually, like two people, and even one have all these curtains. If the other one has removed them, it's
Yes.
enough heart energy, if you want to call it, to remove
Yeah.
the other one's curtains.
Yes. It encourages you because I'm sitting there, I'm seeing my curtains and no curtains from them. So I have a say, I have a command of my curtains. I just don't have a say around them. It's just like that's the one I want. There is a posting somebody sent me. I think it's on Instagram. And it's a very interesting one. It's a funny one. A guy goes to, you probably have seen it, goes to order. And the person who's taking their order has this like tone that is made up. It's like, can I take your order? And the guy gets upset and imitates the young person. Has anybody seen it? Am I the only one? Okay, nobody has seen it. And then he gets upset and she gets upset and she says, why are you talking like that? He says, why are you talking like that? She says, I talk like that. And he says, nobody talks like that. That's an intentional tone that a teenager takes that wants to say, I don't care about what you say. You're not a teenager and you don't look like you're a spoiled rich person because you're working in a coffee shop. And it's a very harsh statement he makes, but what he's saying is, be you. Who talks like that? Anyway, the conversation goes on and there's back and forth. And then she really gets upset. And then as he's leaving, she screams at him and says, you're so rude. And he says, there, that's the real voice. Because she drops like, can I take your order? He says, that's the real voice. There you go. You got it. And it's a
I
exactly. I got you. That's the real voice. That's true. That's the real voice. You upset me. I talk like that. Nobody talks like this. And it's just like we're living like that. Exactly that. Not just talking. I'm living like this. And somebody looks at me and said, no, do you, no, that's not a natural state of being. You don't, no, that's not natural. You made it up. And now you're trying so hard. Sometimes you're suffering to keep that image. And that image, because it's an image, is not easily sustainable. But if I was in my true state, that is sustainable. It's just like lying. If I made a lie, I need to really be effortful around remembering my lie. So you say, Mitra, what did you do like last Wednesday? I have to, because I lied, I have to think about it and say, oh, what did I tell them I did? Okay, then I say it and I make a mistake. And then you say, but I thought you said, and now I have to defend it. No, I was there, but I went there before. So you see how effortful it is? But if I was telling the truth and you said, what did you do last Wednesday? I say, oh, I was like at such and such place. And you say, oh, very effortless conversation. Easy to not lie in a way when I'm trying to be somebody else, when I have a lot of curtains, I am lying. And it's hard to keep that lie. Very hard.
About the, sorry, Minu, just one little about the lying. That's how I teach my kids not to lie. I'm like, lies have, I don't know if it's an English expression, but we say lies have little legs, short legs. So it means they cannot run fast. You always catch them.
I
So
like that.
I tell them like it's so much effort to keep the light. And anyway, you're gonna forget at one point. So it really works. And when you were explaining this about the curtains, this and very fast, this image of scaffolding, somebody once told me, not everybody is able to release or give up their scaffolding they built to sustain their lives. And that brought a lot of compassion to me. And I understood that some people put that much energy in building scaffolding that they don't take care of the actual building. And there is a point where it's very difficult for them to remove these curtains or the scaffolding, because the actual building, like they're, it's in very weak or very, yeah, and that they spend so much time window shopping for facades instead of like really going inwards and working.
Solid building, making solid
Yeah,
building.
solid building.
Very
Yeah,
true.
yeah.
Thank you. Minu.
Yes. So I think this good energy or not good energy, shouldn't say good, it's contagious because I noticed it with our meeting with my new position that I have. Every time we have a meeting and somebody starts with the energy of complaining, saying something negative or getting angry, all of that, when I distract them and I say something else, the whole energy changes. So it's like I can let it go to that side and everyone starts saying negative things, or I can stop it and then take it to the positive way and end it. So that energy is very contagious. And if you, we all have the power and the choice to push it towards the better side, because sometimes they don't even know what they're doing or what they're saying. When you stop them and you shift it, everybody feels better when it's in a better position, that in a better energy. Everyone feels it. And then it ends up, you will be a a person that will be trusted because you gave them a better feeling rather than the other person. Even if they agree with that negative everything, they won't have a good feeling. They will have a better feeling when you are towards a better energy. And so it's contagious too.
I like what you said, Minu, and it reminded me that the better feeling when you said that, we do what we do, we want what we want because we want to feel better. And if I'm
Exactly.
feeling better naturally because I'm in my true state, then I'm not chasing anything. I'm already there. The chasing happens because I know deep down that I'm not in there. I'm not feeling good, even though people say you look good, even though people say you have a lot of good things. I'm not feeling it. And that's why I'm chasing. But if I'm already there, anything else comes from inspiration to go to a better place of growth, not because I'm grabbing for something, not because I'm chasing something. That is so true. And you are right. It is contagious because that authenticity is a very strong energy. Truth is the has the highest frequency. So when I am authentic, means I'm in my truth, then that frequency is much stronger than any pretense or any grabbing or chasing. Of course, it is more attractive, yes.
And that will make you also, it's not only giving them a better feeling and emotions or better feeling, it will come back to you and you will feel better and you will understand that you're in a better position than you were a few minutes before that.
Exactly.
And we say in Farsi, the liar is the enemy of God.
Yes.
So
Yes.
we say the liar is the enemy of God or
Yes.
God's enemy. So it's
Exactly.
very bad everywhere.
Very strong.
Very
And that
strong.
means that you are going away from your own godhood when you're lying. I'm going to very away from
You're
that.
not little everything anymore. Yeah, you push
Exactly.
yourself. You
Exactly.
intentionally taking yourself away from where you're supposed to be intentionally, because we
Intentionally.
all have a choice not to lie.
Yes, and effortfully, I'm making myself more miserable and more difficult. Yeah, it's a very
Thank you.
fascinating state, and I'm really glad. Thank you for bringing this subject to our discussion today. I don't know how it happened, but I know you guys all did it. But it's a very it's the next step. This is eternalist discussion, by the way. I wanted to say that because I've started to think about creating eternalist course and book and all of that. And this is the eternalist state that I don't need. So I go from not even knowing where I am, then I observe myself, I know where I am, then I intend to be better. And then I realize that I can just settle into my being. I don't need to even effort for anything. Effortless. I'm there. So we're talking, we just went, and it's a very interesting thing. I was thinking about it, but you guys took the discussion to the next step, which and Jennifer, I don't know if you've arrived at that state of the class that we talked about, survivalist to attentionist to eternalist sort of state. These discussions today, for the first time, naturally went to the eternalist discussion. So thank you. Really appreciate that. That's what happened. Why don't we just, unless there's something to share, anybody wants to share anything? Go ahead.
I just wanted to quickly say that all of this discussion about energy took me back to how I was practicing this way before I even knew what it was. And I'm talking like 50 years ago when I started enacting, and we would sit across from each other and close our eyes and just feel each other's energy. And it was
Wow.
so incredible the things that we could actually pick up from each other. We'd have a discussion afterwards. And we just sit like knee to knee, cross, on the floor, and just sit knee to knee and just feel the person's energy. And then we'd also turn around back to back and really get in tune with how the other person breathed. So we would start to breathe like them, and they would try to breathe like us and just get so in tune with each other. And I sit there and go, how many things of acting tie into mindfulness and what we're, and the discussions that we have. Yeah,
That's
that's all.
amazing. Yeah. Oh.
I'm sorry, can I share something?
Of course you can. Go
Been
ahead.
trying to share this for a while, but okay. I get not goosebumps, I get chills all over my body when I remember this. Somebody came to our home a few weeks ago, a very lovely lady with her husband, lovely husband. And when she walked in, she said, "I smell wedding here. I smell energy of a wedding, something like wedding-ish." And I thought to myself, wow, that's such a great thing, but I have nothing cooking at this moment. And then maybe a few days later, my son started dating a girl. They are so excited from each other's love. There is so much love going on in this home that every time I remember that word that she said, I feel wedding here, I get chills. My whole body starts like, oh my God, what did she say? How did she say that? So I
Wow.
had to share that.
Thank you for
Yeah. Oh,
sharing, Minu.
yeah. Thank you. Thank you for all of that. I had to share that. I'm very excited. So that
That's the
energy.
no moment of no curtain for that person. So their
Yes, yes,
energy
yes.
was
How
there.
can we be that? I think when you are very quiet enough, as Christina was saying, if you're in the spectrum is a lot. If we are in step one, maybe that person was in like 9, 8, I can't say 10, but 8 or 9, and we are probably step one. Hopefully we get closer to
Yeah.
be more than one.
Thank you for
Yeah,
sharing.
thank you,
And
thank
it
you.
allows us to know that those states are there. That's the beauty of it. That's why we're talking
Yes,
about it.
yes,
Not to
yes.
say, why aren't you there? To know that, oh, that can be there. And you know,
Yes.
when we see it, that's what happens. That's why when people are, they say in the world of business, when they are exposed to like successful people, there's a chance that they will be more successful. Because when you see it, you say, oh, so it's possible. So I could start here and end here. Energetically is the same that we say, oh, that's possible. We can actually do that. We can actually go in and see when there is no judgment, when there is no, I'm better, and why do you have this home? And it should be this way. You can actually connect to the energies that you want to see in that home. And then naturally the words come out. I mean, I smell wedding is not something that, you know, like we normally talk about, like this wedding doesn't have smell, but you need to be in that state, at least in that moment, to feel that. And I can just feel how the person felt that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. Thank
Thank
you.
you. Carlota.
Just very fast, because Nikki shared that about energy. I'm a lot into Japanese culture. I was a lot into Japanese culture, and also start practicing certain martial arts, like and from my friends explaining me stories. Just like the real fight of two samurais is when they don't have to even take the sword out,
Yes.
and that's when it's considered a real fight. And you have to consider that when a samurai lost a fight, sometimes it was they had to kill themselves because of the dishonor. So it's not just that for the friend, oh, okay, you win. It's like real. And they consider that the most powerful samurais didn't even have to take the sword out. And it's an energetic sense. That's like mind-blowing.
Yes. And martial arts is based on all of this. That's so true. The movie, if you remember, the Karate Kid, that the kid wants to learn to go and take a revenge and hit these people. And the teacher says that you never ever restart. You can use it to defend yourself, but this is not to go and show your power. And then he starts giving him all these little tasks that drives him crazy, that are supposed to be internally creating patience and externally creating the right muscles. Remember, he says, paint this room, and the guy like gets angry and says, like, what, you've got free labor here? But patience and also the movement of the hand for painting, the teacher is grooming the student, but the student is thinking revenge and power and like better and beat up the kids. And it's a completely, completely different idea and philosophy. Yeah, fascinating. Wow, what a rich session. I feel my heart is open. This is perfect. I'm going to teach a UCLA class in an hour. So this really, really was a gift to me. Thank you. Thank you. I'm vibrating at a much higher level than when I entered the class. I can tell you that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, we see you next time. And there will be some information that will be sent out for the peer-led groups. We're increasing it. We don't know exactly how, but there will be one that Nikki leads, another one Chris leads, another one Carlota leads. So we will have three meetings per month instead of one, because we realized that that might not be the suitable time for everybody. And a lot of people want to, so they they want to participate, they say, well, I just can't at noon on Wednesdays. So we're adding it, but an email will come out as soon as they finalize. They're doing it, I'm not doing it. As soon as the three of them will come up with it, I'll send you an email and let you know. And please participate, because there's a lot of beauty that happens when I'm not there, and then you can share it when I am there. You want to say something, Carlota?
Yes, also that it's not that they have to choose one or the others. They can come to three of them if they want.
Yes.
Like, yeah,
Yes.
it's to give as much opportunities to connect and practice as we can. Yeah.
Yes, very good point. That's true. It's not one or another, but so almost throughout the month, every week we will have something hopefully to offer, so that when we, as we're expanding the community, there will be a lot of support, that even if it is to just sit together and you know, practice together, that would be very useful. So, and also, if you haven't taken the AQ test, please take it, and please give us feedback, because we really want to take it and put it on the website for people to take. But I wanted to hear you, because you're at a different level and you understand. If you have any suggestions, any feedback, give it to us before I want to put it as a free test on the website. So please, great to see you. Have a great rest of the day and weekend. Yes, Minu, you have a question?
Your blossoms are very pretty,
Oh,
and
thank
we are
you.
the only, my blossoms are very pretty too.
Oh, there
But
you go. They're gorgeous.
let's see. Oh, I don't know how to. Let me turn it around.
We saw it for
Because
a second.
there you
Oh,
go.
they're beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow. Are they pink or white? I can't see.
It looks pink, doesn't it?
Yeah, good. Looks pink to me. Yeah.
Some look white, some look pink.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
gorgeous. Beautiful.
They're
Oh, it's
all pink if you could,
pink.
yeah.
Yes.
So this is the home. This is a home for Nowruz. So our home
Yes.
looks like Nowruz, the spring,
Of course,
the beginning
spring.
of spring.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nowruz
Yeah,
means new
thank
day in Farsi. So we
you.
celebrate from the first day of spring. We celebrate for 13 days, and everything is, you know, fresh and green and germination and flowers and
Blossoms.
a lot of 3,000 years of doing this. So a lot of history and a lot of wisdom in it. So thank you, Minu, for showing it to us. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for your discussions and questions.
Thank
And I'll
you,
see
thank you,
you the
thank you.
next time.
Bye
Take
bye.
care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye bye.